Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Mosaic Life Podcast. My name is Trey Kaufman. The goal of the Mosaic Life Podcast is to explore happiness, what it means to us as individuals, and why so many of us chase it, and yet so many of us struggle to find it. If you get a value out of today's episode, or you've gotten value out of the podcast in the past, I would greatly appreciate your support. And this week, you can show your support by joining the Circle newsletter, which you can do at themosaiclifepodcast.com. You'll get once or twice weekly emails announcing brand new episodes, brand new meditations, as well as book recommendations, and there is more to come. Sign up for the Circle newsletter at themosaiclifepodcast.com. And if you sign up this month, you'll be entered to win a life-changing book from one of the prior 106 episodes. Again, you can sign up at themosaiclifepodcast.com. I know I've said it in a number of different ways at this point. Never squander or take for granted an opportunity to have a conversation with someone whom you respect. It's an opportunity to learn about someone and something new. And it's also a chance for you to gain a clearer understanding of what it is you value in this life. I was fortunate enough to meet my guest today as a fellow classmate in our time taking Christina Wise's Curves Money course over the summer. And from the moment we were connected, I could sense there was a bit of magic in him, something that literally always had him smiling, and I wanted to find out what that was. After having this conversation, there's no mistaking what drives Sean forward, and it's a mentality I strive to take into my everyday life. Sean is the living, breathing embodiment of what we can do practically to live out our dreams. He knows you or I will have excuses. That's part of life, but he helps us work our way through them. At the start of the pandemic, Sean Marshall took his in-person business online, sold everything he owned, and left a city and life he loved to travel the world. While on this epic adventure, he is empowering his clients to trust their intuition and live their life's purpose. Sean is an inspiration, and I could not be more fortunate to have shared an hour in conversation with him. Please welcome my guest, Sean Marshall. Sean, how's it going, dude?
Dude, going awesome, my brother. Thanks, man.
Thanks for doing this. I'm so excited to be able to talk with you. For context, when we talk about synchronicity or randomness, I mean, we met through Christina Wise and actually through her money class, which is phenomenal. And I want to talk about that because it was a great class, but I'm so thankful for her for introducing us.
Dude, likewise, man. It was fun. You stood out to me the first session that we had. So I'm stoked to be able to connect with you in this way outside of it. And man, that class was a game changer. So much has unfolded since taking it. So yeah. We can go anywhere you want and I'm happy to talk about it.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, first of which, I know you were out of town for your birthday for a bit. So how was that?
Yeah, man. I took pretty much a month off.
That's awesome.
It was great. I took a week off and I'm in Denver. So I stayed in Denver, just hung out for the 4th of July. It's my birthday. And then went to Sundance, Utah for a week. Nice. For a mastermind event. And then I went straight to Costa Rica from there. And I was in Costa Rica for 2 weeks.
Dude, that's awesome. That's, yeah. So I know, obviously, I imagine Sundance in Utah is where they hold the Sundance Festival, right? It wasn't going on while you were there, was it?
No, the festival wasn't going on, but yeah, it is where they hold the festival. And okay. I don't know if you've ever been there, but man, it's a beautiful place.
That's fantastic. So you had a good birthday?
Great birthday, man. Yep.
Dude, I love it. I love it. So with Christina, I know it was, like you said, game changer. And I think when we first spoke, I agree with you. I think that word can be overused, but I mean, really when it came to that class and the way I have restructured my finances from that point, it's just, I mean, there isn't really another way of describing it. I mean, the way I look at my money now versus the way I did 6 months ago, it's literally a night and day difference.
Absolutely, man. I mean, I'm happy to hear you say that. The same for me. Total different relationship with my money. And it's not that, you know, how do I say this? You know, I used to view my income sort of as I have these things I need to pay for this month, right? Yes. And then I would just allocate my money to pay whatever I need to pay. And it was sort of a short-sighted viewpoint on my money. And with Christina's course, it just had me – it really changed the way I think about money, changed the way I spend my money, changed the way I relate to how I spend my money. Nice. There were things that I would spend my money on that I wouldn't feel good about.
Yeah.
And so I stopped spending my money on things like that. and then, dude, I saved – I wasn't even saving money before that. And I saved $40,000 in the 3 months. I paid off another $10,000 in debt. And then even bigger than that, I think, is I've been – she really has me thinking about assets.
Yeah.
And so I've had, it's just funny, like you say, synchronicity. Two opportunities have come into my life since taking that course that, you know, had they come in before, I probably would have had a limiting belief around stepping into those things. And now I'm going for it, you know, and it's around building assets. And so I'm super grateful, man.
That's amazing. It's incredible the amount of empowerment that we get within our soul, our hearts, whatever you want to call it, when we fully understand what we are capable of accomplishing. And I don't think we can realize that until we actually have an understanding of what's even possible within this world. And I think Christina unlocked a lot of those quote unquote secrets for us, for you and I, and for everybody else in our class.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. She kind of raised the roof and showed us some different ways to think. And as a result, you know, there's possibilities that I'm seeing, and I'm sure you're seeing that I wasn't really seeing or believing, you know, prior to doing that work with her.
Yeah, absolutely. For example, you talk about assets for yourself. I am actually in the process of taking out a whole life policy, which I didn't even know what the hell that was 6 months ago, but I heard Christina talking about it a fair amount. And actually I talked with an agent that I work with, and I've got a meeting with her today to kind of sign on the dotted line. So if for anybody who didn't know, like I do, it's a policy that can actually accumulate wealth for you, which is cool. And I feel like an adult being able to say that.
Yeah, dude, congratulations, man. That's a big step.
Yeah, for sure.
Dude, I talked to, you know, one of my buddies, I mean, just to reinforce that decision, you know, my guy I went to Costa Rica with, he talked about his whole life policy, and he had taken one out for each of his kids, and he had a few for himself. And those policies have paid a lot in his life. They've really been fruitful. So congrats, man, on taking that step.
Yeah, I'm excited. So talk to me more about Costa Rica. What all did you do down there? I'm curious what spending a somewhat extended amount of time in a different country, or I guess in a different territory, whatever you want to call it, allowed or like has opened up your mind to. Now I feel like I'm getting Costa Rica and Puerto Rico confused. I know one's a U.S. territory and one's not. Regardless, tell me about your time down there.
Yeah, man. And funny, a lot of people do, when I speak about Costa Rica, a lot of people mention Puerto Rico. So there must be some similarities there. But dude, man, Costa Rica, they have the formula backwards, bro, than what we have in the United States. And their formula is people first.
Yeah.
It really is. And no one said that, but just that's my experience of the Costa Rican people is they're so friendly. They're so nice. And I can't tell you how many times especially in Dominical, this little surf town, that I walked by someone and said hello, or they said hello.
Yeah.
And in my like American way, I just want to keep going. And they actually want to have a conversation. And that hello turned into 45-minute conversation. And at the end of it, with a phone number exchange, and I even had three people invite me to their house and say, hey, I have an extra room. Next time you're here, if you want to stay, I have a place for you, like no cost. I mean, it's like so different, man.
Yeah. That's amazing. Why do you think that is? I mean, I've never been, so I have absolutely no basis for comparison, but why do you think, well, we can try to articulate why it's the opposite in America, but I'm curious why you think the mentality and mindset is so much different down there.
That's a good question, man. I don't know. I don't know if it's the environment. I don't know if because they haven't, let's say, you know, their economy largely thrives on tourism.
Yeah.
You know, and outside that, people just sort of, you know, find work that's going to support them and their families. And it seems like that's good enough for them. There's not a lot of, I don't know, wealth, I guess, in for the locals. So they're not focused on, you know, they're not focused on this like entrepreneurial drive or let's go get the latest car or let me build my dream home or any of that. It's like they're focused on meeting their needs. And outside that, they're good. So I don't know, man. I don't know where that roots from. But I know one thing that's interesting is their government years ago, they got rid of their military and they don't have a military.
That's interesting.
Interesting.
It's super interesting. And I know I don't want to change the subject too abruptly. I would like to stay on Costa Rica, but you were in the military for a brief stint of time, weren't you?
I was. Yep.
I mean, and if you want to, I'd like to talk a little bit about your experiences in that, because from what it seems like, it wasn't something that you really wanted to be doing.
Yeah. I mean, I'll talk about anything you want to talk about, but
yeah.
Military wasn't for me. I did it. You know, I was in during 9/11.
Yeah.
I was in when the USS Cole got bombed. Not sure if you remember that or if any of your listeners do, but we were the first unit to go provide support when the USS Cole, if anyone's listening, or if you are, just pull up USS Cole and you'll see a ship with a big hole in it. And we were the first ones to get there and help those guys. And then I was also in during when we started the Iraqi conflict in 2003, and we took the first wave of Marines and sort of set up a few months prior to actually launching that war. So it was interesting times, man, to be in. And you know, different life, man. I served honorably and I excelled in rank.
Yeah.
And at the same time, man, I just played the game. You know, I figured out the game and played the game. And, you know, military life is great. And of course, man, and let me not take away from like the gratitude of serving my country. I'm super honored to do that. I love my country. So I have that pride. And in terms of being a career path, it's that career is for people that love structure.
Right.
Want to follow a plan and are okay inside of the guidelines, if you will, that box. But it's not me, man. I'm a free spirited guy. I like to do what I want when I want. I like to chart my own course. So it was completely opposite of a structure that I need in order to thrive. So it was like just counting down days, man. Can't wait till this is over.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Were you deployed in Iraq when we had that occupation?
or I guess when it started. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. We took, I was Navy, so I was a navigator in the Navy. And so we took the first guys and girls, well, guys, to Iraq. We went to the Arabian Gulf. And then I was on an amphibious ship. And so we pulled up to the shore, launched all the guys in their, with their, in their hovercrafts. On those hovercrafts, they had all their tanks and all their gear. And then they took the long hike on foot to Iraq from there. And then we hung out in the Arabian Gulf with, you know, I don't know how many, 20, 30, 40 other warships.
Right.
And, we did some interesting things. You know, one of the things that Saddam was doing at that time was blowing up or threatening to blow up oil wells that are in the Gulf. And so we guarded some of those oil wells. We took special forces to some of those oil wells. And then there was just some other weird things that we did in the region while we were there.
Man. Yeah, I can't, I mean, I thank you. I thank all of our military for protecting us and our freedoms, but I can't imagine what it's like to be serving like that and being in those conditions, especially when we, if you call it anxiety or anticipation about what could potentially come of it. We all remember what it felt like, almost 20 years ago now. And we saw those towers fall. So I applaud you for serving so honorably, and I'm glad that you've been able to find a life outside of it, because I know that's not always the case, especially for veterans who come back and get addicted to drugs or opioids or just aren't able to find life back within society.
Yeah, man. Thank you for that. And there's definitely plenty of guys who come back and, you know, I have a cousin who's one of them that just hasn't quite, they just have a hard time shifting from that life back into a civilian life. It's a big transition.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny when you said that structure and living within a box don't necessarily fit within your plan. I laugh because there's irony in the fact that when I first spoke with Christina outside of the podcast in the context of taking her CURBS course, she made me realize that what I strive for is a simple life. I want things to be somewhat predictable. I like going out and experiencing new things, but I like knowing, you know, exactly, case in point, where my finances are going or how my business is running. I like having those. I don't know if I want to call it securities, but I like that sort of confinement. It possibly maybe due to the fact that my 20s were the opposite of that. But I also love hearing that you're able to go out there and flex your creative wings as much as, or your muscles as much as you want. And you, in the dawn of the pandemic in 2020, I mean, you sold everything of yours and you flew the coop, right?
Yeah, I did. I did, man. Yeah. I had an in-person business, for, you know, almost a decade.
Yeah.
And took that online. And then a few months later, it was like, holy shit, you know, I hope I can say the S word, but
yeah, man, you're good.
Now I'm free to, I'm not location dependent anymore. Yes. So my girlfriend and I, in a matter of 28 days from idea to being gone, we sold everything we had and we bounced, to Denver.
That's amazing. So did you stay here domestically or did you travel outside of the borders of the US before everything was shut down?
I stayed here.
Okay.
And then until the Costa Rica thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So that seems to be the, I don't know, I don't want to call it a pipe dream, but it seems to be the dream of so many people, the fantasy rather, just, I'm going to sell everything and I'm just going to escape. I mean, you did it. And so what was it that really gave you that extra nudge to go from fantasizing to actually committing to it? What was the mindset?
Yeah, it you know, sometimes I'm slow, man. And so it took me two months of being online to realize that I'm not location dependent anymore. And it started with a 3-day vacation to Arizona.
Nice.
And my friend has an extra house, so we stayed in her house. And then that turned into a week, and then that turned into 2 weeks. And it was that, it was like halfway through that time where I just, we were sitting out in the backyard one night and it just hit me, you know, that I'm not, we've been here for a week and we actually don't have to go back. Cause like forever I had to get back home. Right. I always right. had to get back like Sunday night. And that feeling of having to get back, I didn't go back Sunday night. And then it was the next Friday already. And then I realized I had already had the experience of not having to be somewhere other than a laptop. And so that's when I just was a light bulb moment. And I looked at my girlfriend and I was like, yo, you know, we've been here. We're not location dependent anymore. And I let that sink in for her.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, you and I have been talking about traveling. And then I just is like, talk about it or be about it. And I was like, let's fucking sell everything and go travel.
Yes.
And I was serious. I meant it. And she looked at me and was like, took her 3 or 4 seconds and she was like, all right, let's do it. So we did. We went back and just started listing everything. And before you know it, we didn't have anything. And then we were gone.
That's amazing, man.
The funny thing, man, is we came to Denver, you know, and the original plan, well, we didn't follow the original plan, but we came to Denver. We weren't going to stay here, but we're getting ready to leave San Diego. And I love San Diego. And that's the other thing is I was in this mindset of like, if you don't live, this is so dumb, but if you don't live in San Diego, I don't know what you're doing with your life. That's how much I love San Diego. And then, so we like 2 days before we left, the day before we left, I was like, you know, we don't have a place yet. We should get serious about finding a place, you know? And so we did, we found the perfect place.
Nice.
And so we're still here.
That's incredible. Talk to me about your in-person business and how you transition it into an online business, because I'm sure that's not necessarily a possibility for everybody to do. I guess if you get creative enough, sure, there are ways to do it. But what was that transition like for you?
Yeah, you're right. I think everyone can go online, actually. Yeah. But what you said is the key is being creative.
Right.
Even a massage therapist can do it. You can't put your hands on anyone anymore, right. But there's a way for them to do it. But I ran a outdoor group personal training company. And the way I always saw my job, I closed it since then. I haven't told you that. I closed it yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So we can talk more about that as well. But the way I always saw my job when I was a trainer was I'm going to get you in shape and then I'm going to keep you in shape. And so when the pandemic started closing things down, I just leaned back on that commitment and said, well, the way I do that now is we go online, you know, we go do some Zoom workouts and then we'll be back out here soon. And then that turned into, you know, audio doesn't work very well during Zoom. So I had to buy some like high-end equipment, a nice mic, a mixer and stuff like that. So I could stream music through and actually have it work.
Yeah,
dude. And within a month I was like, I'm not going back in person. This is better, you know? So that was the transition. And then it's a lot of enrollment. I mean, I had to enroll my clients into doing it because they're used to a certain way. And so I had to have a one-on-one conversation. I didn't have to, but that's what I did with every single one of them. Hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go online. This is what it's going to look like. And then once I discovered that I'm going to stay online, then I did it again. I called every single one of them, had a heart to heart and enrolled them into this is what we're going to do full time. Here's the benefits of it. And then some of them dug it. Some of them didn't, you know, and some of them left. And some of them stayed, and the ones that stayed, they loved it. The ones that left, they just didn't, they wanted that. They wanted something different or the change was too much for them or whatever, you know?
Yeah. So what did that look like with your current clients and in regard to value, perceived value, pricing? Did you keep your pricing model the same when you transitioned online? Did you add more value to compensate for not being in person? How did that structure adapt and evolve for your current clients versus how did you structure it for new and incoming clients?
I mean, I actually raised my prices after.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then, and at the same time, man, this around that time, is when I really started feeling pulled to go in another direction. So I can come back to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But I stopped focusing on bringing new people in. We added a lot. I mean, I brought my girlfriend in and we tried a whole bunch of things. I mean, we added some yoga and then she realized I don't want to be a yoga teacher. So we stopped doing the yoga. And then what she's really good at is meditating. She's just excellent at walking you through visualizations. And so we added some meditations and she was doing, you know, like a bunch of those a week where we do a live meditation. And then we also did a happy hour every Friday. And we did that for that was really a response to people being isolated.
Right.
And it was like, I got to do something for them so they're not so isolated because they miss each other. And I miss, you know, it was fun. We had a great thing going. So we did the happy hour thing for a while. And then that just sort of tapered off. And then let me see what else we added. I had the accountability got a little different. You know, anytime that people are going after a fitness goal or a weight loss goal, which a lot of people have, there's so many excuses, right, that are in the way of achieving the body or the health or whatever. And when we shifted from in-person to online, it stirred up new excuses for some people. You know, and they probably wouldn't love that I called them excuses, but the container was the same. I mean, the container never changed. The container was always, this is a environment for my clients to get in shape and stay in shape. That was the mission. That's the container. The container never changed. Yeah. It just looked different. And so a lot of times, you know, when things change, we have a relationship to that change and some people can adapt and realize the container is the same and some people couldn't adapt to it. So
yeah,
I think it was a great opportunity for the ones that did and even the ones that didn't adapt to it, it was still an opportunity for them to see how they show up when things change, right? And when things change, you get to ask yourself a question, am I committed or not?
Right.
And some people weren't and some people were.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned being pulled in a different direction. When did you start to feel that tug pulling you away from the training?
Yeah, man, if I'm just being really, really honest, is the pull started coming in around 2017.
Okay.
And it was subtle, you know, and let me add this in. When I got into fitness, I got in 2007. And at that same time, I took a personal development and leadership course. And that course is what gave me the confidence to follow the fitness path. Because I had always wanted to be in fitness. I just didn't have the confidence to do it. So it took me going through the military, it took me going down a dark path for a while. And then in 2007, I took that course and that course gave me the confidence to do it. And then at the same time I started fitness, I went back to the school where I took that personal development course and they had a program where you could become a coach.
Nice.
And so I did that. I became a coach, like a life coach. And then I coached their clients through this 4-month transformational journey. And I did both of those tracks. It was a non-paid gig to do the coaching, but I loved it so much and it made such an impact for people and for me that I just did it over and over and over and over and over again. And so there came this point where I was like masquerading as a fitness professional, but I was really a personal development coach.
Yeah.
And then it was like an inside joke I had with myself. And then there came a day that I realized it was limiting me and I wasn't able to step into the leadership that I had developed. I couldn't fully step into it in fitness. And so that was around 2017.
Okay.
And just kind of humming along in the background, you know, I had created financial freedom and I created time freedom, man. I had both of those. I worked 9 hours a week. and made great money doing it, and I didn't have any overhead. And so I got comfortable, and then it was after the pandemic and after going online and after moving, it was actually the election cycle, the 2020 election, that changed everything for me, that made me step into it, because I was watching all the fighting that was happening. Yeah. You know, you don't believe what I believe, so you're an idiot, don't talk to me again. Like, it was such, you know, polarizing time. Yeah. And man, at first I got kind of angry about it, and I was like, this is disgusting, why are we treating each other this way? And then I thought, you know, the leadership kicked in, and I visualized, well, what's the world that I want to see?
Yeah.
And then I came up with connection. I really want to see a world where we're connected, where people listen to each other, where, you know, you could be confident in your own belief system.
Yes.
So confident that you could listen to someone who has a different belief system and not let it cause a breakdown, you know, in the relationship. And then my next natural question to myself was, well, what can I do as a leader to create that world? And that's when it hit me that I always have known that we're born. This is my belief anyway, that we are born. I even think that from a spiritual place, we choose a mission before we inhabit a body. And then we come to this planet and we have a mission and a purpose like deeply embedded in us. And that's, I realized that. And then I said, great, that's what I'm going to do. And so that was right around November. And then in January, I started that path. I made a declaration to take the coaching I was doing for that other company. I still do it with them, but I also am doing it as a career now. Yeah. And then I started the Reinvent Yourself series. And like you, you know, I started interviewing experts and picking their brains. And that's how I met Christina and some other cool people. And just the whole mission now is to wake people up and show them that they do have a purpose.
Yes.
And that I think people know that. And then my intention is for them to have the confidence, or the courage rather, to go after it.
Yeah. I love that. I love everything you just said. And that connection piece is super interesting to me, because I've had this conversation before. And in a world where we can literally talk to anybody across the entire planet that we want to in a moment's notice, we are so much less connected than I think we've ever been. And that's scary. That's why I like to have these conversations, you and I having a one-on-one conversation right here. And whether or not we have fundamentally different viewpoints, or whether or not we agree on everything, we can have a heart-to-heart conversation, because we're actually doing it in a way that I think is meaningful to both of us. And that's, I don't know, my problem is I don't know how that's scalable. I mean, no matter what size audience I'm capable of building, there are always going to be people who disagree with me, which is good. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But at least people are willing to listen and talk about the conversation we're having. And so I don't know. I just don't know how to scale that connection piece. And if you have insights onto that, how do you have conversations with people on a much larger level where we can actually listen to each other instead of making sure that we're getting our viewpoints across?
That's a great question, man. That's a phenomenal question. I don't know that the conversations I'm doing with experts or you, I don't know if that does it, but maybe it creates the idea, or maybe it creates the possibility, you know, maybe it shows people, and maybe it pulls them, you know, maybe someone listens to your podcast or this episode who typically would just veg out on YouTube or something. And for whatever reason today, they chose to listen to a conversation. Maybe that opens something up inside of them that instead of being on YouTube, wasting time, they listen to another podcast, and maybe that just starts to open up a different way of thinking or operating. And maybe that's one piece of the puzzle. And that's why I think like the purpose piece is so important, because I think anyway, I could be way off, you know, but I think that when people step into their purpose, what they really want to do, then that does create a ripple effect that's positive around them. And maybe it's just with their family or maybe it's with their family and friends, or maybe they have a platform like you do and they're able to reach more people. So I think that's one piece of it. And I think personal development is a big piece of it too, you know? So yeah. There's, you know, a million personal development courses. I think everyone that goes through and does a course like that learns some different tools to communicate. I think emotional intelligence is really important. Learning how you relate to other people is really important. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of it, but how do we scale that and get everybody in a emotional intelligence course? Yeah, I don't know, man.
Well, I think it can actually to add on to what you said, and going back to the beginning of the conversation when you were in Costa Rica and people would just have conversations with you. I remember back in the day, you used to be able to access something along the lines of Facebook social graph, where you can see how far your social connectedness went by drawing little circles and see how far those ripples go out. And when you had those conversations in Costa Rica, maybe that instilled within you the desire or the purpose of having more meaningful conversations and bringing that mentality, that mindset back home with you. So you can continue doing that here in a place that isn't necessarily open to that. But if you're able to influence one person to maybe have a meaningful conversation, then they can have that conversation with more and more people. So, I mean, scalable, you know, and on a global scale with 8 billion people, probably not feasible. But if you're able to do it with one or two people at a time, hopefully that ripples and resonates out from within your circle out into the world.
I agree, man. You know, when you say that, I remember one of the women I met, I was like, you know, in a cafe, and this woman was there with her guy, and we started talking, and somehow we got into a political discussion, and she had starkly opposite view as me. Yeah. And I saw it coming, and I was like, you know, whatever, let me just hear her out. And then she said something that I had to respond to, right? There came this moment where I couldn't just listen anymore. And I was like, actually, let me share another perspective on that, you know?
Yeah.
And it turned into this heated conversation on her end. She was drinking a little bit. And so they had to come over, the nice Costa Rican, you know, bartender guy was like, ma'am, can you keep it down? In that conversation, I calmed her down and got her to a point where she would listen and listen to another perspective on it. And it shifted her. It shifted something in her. You know, she started crying. She gave me a big hug and it was a beautiful thing, man. And she ended up inviting me to her place to go, not that way. I mean, she was there with her man,
right.
You know, but they had an extra room. I think where we get ourselves into trouble is that we think we're right, and then we defend being right. Our ego wants to be right. So if we can realize that, like, it's okay to have a belief, but I also don't need to be right. I really don't. I really don't need to be right. I do have my belief, but I don't need to be right. And that removes a big piece of what causes conflict, is just everyone's ego wants to be right.
Absolutely.
And they don't realize that their ego wants to be right. And they think that we think that it's us. Like, we get confused with our ego. I'm not my ego. My ego wants to be right. I don't want to be right. My ego does.
It's like walking into a room thinking, or I guess knowing in that case, that you are the smartest person there. Even though that is very unlikely to be the truth, you're not going to learn anything because you are convinced that you are the smartest person in the room. If you think you're right, you're never going to open yourself up to new ideas. And the way you executed that, the way you told that story is beautiful.
Yeah, thanks, man. And that's a great way to put it. We got to be open.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk to me more about the transformational work you're doing. And I am curious, when I think you said 2007, around that time when you took that first that first transformational class, do you know what that was called? Are you willing to share it?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm not with the original school anymore, but the original one that I went through as a student is called Choice Center.
Okay.
And they're in Las Vegas. And so I was with them for almost 10 years.
Nice.
Coaching back to back. And they had a bunch of other programs. They had a men's retreat, and I was one of the men's retreat coaches. They had a whole series of relationships, a class on abundance. So I took all those courses. And then there's another school that's the exact same thing, different ownership, in LA called MITT. And then there's two in San Diego. One actually just moved to Austin. They're called ALA.
Okay.
They came out of the MITT program. And then there's another one in San Diego. This is who I coach with now. They're called Heart, like your heart.
Right.
It's called Heartcore Leadership. And they're the woman that started that is actually a graduate of Choice Center, but you know, years and years ago. So there's those four that I know about, pretty similar program. And then there's probably another 15 or so in the country. There's another one in Puerto Rico. So there, it's a whole series that came out of a training called LifeSpring way back in the day.
LifeSpring. What was the similar mission with LifeSpring as these, I guess, newer evolutions of it?
Yeah, it's similar. It's experiential learning.
Yeah.
Rooted in emotional intelligence and personal leadership. And it's all experiential. So there's some didactic training. You know, didactic training is when you're listening to someone speak, and we only retain a very small amount when someone's just talking at us.
Right.
And then they figured out how to take the concepts and put it into experiential format so that you can have an experience of yourself.
Yeah.
Like if we're talking, if we're talking about responsibility, it's one thing to say and discover that I wasn't responsible in how I acted in my marriage. I've never been married, but I'm just using that as an example.
Right.
But then it's another thing to have an experience of yourself not being responsible. And when you're able to create that, which they figured out how to create that, then it's like 90% retention. It's huge. It's like legitimate transformation.
I have to laugh because that is the sort of educational training I think should be in every single school in this country. And I've heard very smart people, yourself very much included, talk about these exact concepts. I've had many conversations on emotional intelligence and the importance of it. And yet our school systems are so focused on test scores and the ability to memorize information as opposed to, like you said, experience it. Just our value systems seem to be so messed up. And maybe, again, it comes to a point of scalability, but also they're... Our school systems are being politicized as well, which is just sad. So I don't know. I've never experienced these things. And obviously you have. So, I mean, what has that sort of training and I guess education through the experiential and emotional intelligence learning given to you?
The big ones, I would say confidence.
Yeah.
I have a massive amount of confidence in myself. Because I've been able to own up for everything I've done in life, everything that the person I've become, the person I've been, the choices I've made, I've been able to look at that and understand that everything I've done is me. Like I made decisions. And like, so in doing that, I've developed confidence. It's a massive amount of confidence in myself because there's no one to blame for anything that's ever happened in my life. It's all me. And that's given me a sense of confidence and a sense of freedom. And like right along with that one is responsibility, man, you and I could talk about this for the next 10 years every day and we'd never uncover all of it, but it's such a, it's one of like on a vibration standpoint, being the state of being responsible is one of the highest vibrational frequencies that we can be in and emit when we're responsible. It's magic.
Yeah.
And the flip side of that is being victim. And in victim, it happened to us versus we did it, you know?
Yes.
And that's a big one for me is not that I'm never a victim. Like it's fun to be a victim. It's fun to blame people, you know, it's fun to be like, it's your fault, you know, to my girlfriend or something like that, but you can't move in a victim state and you can move in a responsible state. So like learning how to shift that, if I'm being a victim, learning how to shift into being responsible is like instant freedom.
Yeah.
And then learning how to create, one of the things that we did outside of the initial training is you set a goal for 90 days and then you work with a coach to achieve that goal. And there's absolutely no wavering. You set the goal and you're going to create that goal. And they have, the school has like a 95% roughly achievement rate of those goals, and they're big goals, man. Like we're talking about it, a goal that's so stretchy that maybe you'd set that goal for 2 years and you do it in 90 days.
That's incredible. So like
learning how to deliver on what I say I'm going to create, not that I'm 100% on that all the time, but I know that it's, if like one of the sayings is, if it's to be, it's up to me. And if I set a declaration and say I'm going to do it, I can do it. And I know that I can. And that, my God, has been, is a game changer.
Yeah, absolutely. God, I love that, man. I absolutely love that. So I know we're coming up on an hour here, but I want to talk about the work you're doing with your clients. Is that that responsibility that's shifting, as I've heard it called, people into using their higher minds as opposed to their lower minds, where, you know, our lower minds being that victim mentality, that our higher minds taking responsibility and accountability for our actions. Is that something that you're helping your clients do? And what does it look like to work with you?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. I get people who, you know, my audience is typically, they know that they're successful, they're having success, and they also know that there is something else for them to step into. Like they're getting a nudge of, I really want to go in this different direction. And either they pinpointed exactly what it is that they want to do, but they haven't found the courage yet to actually do it. Right. Or maybe they haven't pinpointed what they want to do, but they just know that what they're, the way they're living is not it. There's something else. And so I work with them. We do a visioning process. And I have them paint a picture of what they want life to look like. And we set a time frame for it. And then we set a specific outcome for 6 months from now. And then I coach them every week on it. And I have a whole curriculum that I walk them through. And I tailor it to where they're at. So I don't just follow like A, B, C, D, E. I may start on E with someone. Or if I have someone, like I worked with a woman who had been cheated on, you know, by her husband years ago.
Yeah.
And it was still affecting her. And so we had to, you know, that was causing a breakdown in their marriage, and it was also causing a disconnect with their kids.
Right.
Because she wasn't in her power. And so we had to do some work around that and get her back into her power. And that ends up being a thread I find with a lot of the women I work with is, they are powerful women, but they're not being powerful.
Right.
And so they're sitting back watching life happen. They're waiting, you know, for some magic thing to happen. And so there's a lot of initial work that we do is getting them into their power. And so that they can realize that they're responsible for their life. They're powerful enough to create what they want. And then it becomes just a matter of practice, like baby steps of getting out of their comfort zone and first declaring the life that they want. And then we come up with action plans and steps for them to go create that. So
yeah.
It's rooted in, this would be another conversation, but maybe some of your listeners will know what this is. Maybe, you know, it's rooted in ontology, which is the study of being, ways of being. So it's like less about doing,
right?
You have to do some shit, but it's less about doing and more about being. So like being confident, or being powerful, or being, you know, responsible, all these different things. So you can shift a lot in your life by first being those ways rather than doing. And like a lot of times we'll do so that we can be confident, right? Like an example would be, I'm going to go do. So I'm going to go work out.
Yeah.
Work out, eat different so that I can be confident in my body. But the funny thing about it, and the awesome thing about it, is you don't have to do to be. You can be first. And when you be confident first, or you be responsible first, or you be free first, that shifts how you operate. So
yeah, I like that. I'm running through that in my head. One more time, well, for me, and I guess for anybody else who's wondering, you distinguish between being powerful and not be, but at the same time, not being in power. Distinguish between the two for me.
Yeah. So not being powerful, let's say, you know, you are a powerful person. Let me put it this way. you are a powerful person, but you're not acting like it.
Right.
You know, so yeah. You're not acting like it, meaning let's say you're in a career and you know that that's not the career that you want to be in.
Right.
Yet you're holding back because you don't want to have confrontation with your boss.
Yeah.
Or you're afraid that you're supporting your household and you're afraid of what your spouse is going to say when you say, I'm going to quit my job, or I'm going to follow this entrepreneurial route, or I'm going to get a different job. So second guessing yourself and not using your voice and not putting words to the thoughts and the feelings that you're having is holding back your power. You know, you're not being a powerful person in that moment. And so the brilliant shift is owning your voice, which you don't have to do anything to do that.
Right.
You can speak up right now. If something's not working in your marriage, right, you can speak up about it. And that's being powerful. You know, that's accessing your power and speaking up. Does that
It
does
makes
that
perfect land? Sense. Yes, yeah. that lands hard. I appreciate that. Before we wrap up, there's one thing that you said in a video on your website that clarity and exact steps come with action. And I don't that rung very true when I heard it. And I'm wondering if you can elaborate on that a little bit, because I think so often we look at our goals, which I'm sure you have many clients who look at your goals, and then you see that your goal is 1,000 miles away. And, you know, we can't run 1,000 miles in a second. And so we have to take the first few feet or a couple feet at a time before we can really start to make progress. And we don't even know if we need to make any turns along the way. So I like how you said that exact steps come with those actions. And how do you instill that with the people you work with?
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, trust is a big component of that. Faith is a big component of that. And that's the thing that's the realization that got me out of second guessing staying in fitness or leaving is because, you know, I didn't have the steps and I was waiting for the steps. And so that's what I realized. You know, clarity comes with action and purpose. And a lot of times we want to see all the steps. Like we want to see the plan. We want it to be clear. And we wait to have that clarity, and maybe it comes, you know, maybe there's this flash of light that comes one day, but for the majority of people, that's not going to happen. They're not going to get the ultimate clarity until they start taking action.
Yeah.
And that requires trust, and that requires some faith. So when you start, like, nothing shifts if you don't move.
Right.
Right. If you just stay where you're at with no judgment, but where you're at and you want something different, you're just living in your head.
Yeah.
But as soon as you take one action or a series of actions toward the vision, even if you're not crystal clear on the outcome or the end result you want, if you just start taking action, baby steps, even as you do that, the clarity is going to unfold.
Yes.
It's almost like the universe or spirit or God, whatever you want to call it, is saying to you, calling you forward that, hey, I will show you the clarity, but you have to step forward first. Yeah. Once you step forward, you're going to see the clarity.
Yes. I, for a long, long, long time, I used to think that I would wake up one day and have everything that I wanted, from a podcast or my own business or even a published book. And I don't know why it took me so long to realize that I actually have to start making those steps and putting in a little bit of work. And going back to a point you made earlier, those steps weren't necessarily, you know, filing an LLC or putting together a business plan. Those initial steps for me, they were spending less time during my morning commute listening to the radio and spending more time listening to podcasts that were actually helping with my personal development, reading more books that were benefiting my professional life. It was those small steps that may not seem like they're in direct action or correlation with your ultimate goal, but they ultimately are, because they're putting you on the right path to get there.
I agree with that 100%. you're shifting the way that you're investing your time. Like,
yeah,
you're, you know, if you're watching TV and that's your routine every night, you're spending 2 hours in front of the tube, then you're losing 2 hours that you could be spending on a podcast. And when you shifted that time into a podcast, your paradigm starts to shift slightly. Now you're hearing different ideas. You're seeing evidence of what, of maybe a life that you want to live, right? Like if you're, one of the things I think we get stuck in or that limits us is when we're stuck, we see evidence that supports why we're stuck.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then we just, and then we reinforce the stuckness with all this evidence. Maybe you have a, you know, a circle of friends who are stuck too. So now all the conversation is around how shitty work is or how effed up, you know, our planet is right now or whatever. And you reinforce it. But then when you shift and now you're listening to a podcast like you did and reading books, you're going to start seeing evidence that supports a different reality.
Yeah.
That's a shift right there. Yeah. That's a shift. And then you choose, do I want to step into that or do I want to ignore it? You know?
Yeah, man, that's beautiful. And I think ties into the beginning of our conversation. We talk about our mentality in accomplishing our goals, but we're also, if you and me specifically, we are realizing where our money's going now. And once we're able to realize that we're wasting time or we are wasting our financial resources, we can reallocate them to benefit us so much better.
Dude, absolutely. What a game changer, man.
Yeah, I know, man. Sean, dude, this has been a phenomenal conversation. Before I let you go, I have a few closing questions that I like to ask, and I couldn't be more excited to ask this one for you specifically, because I want to be as big of a benefit to you as you have been in the last hour for me. And so I always like to know, what resources are you looking for to continue your personal development? And I ask that question in case somebody out in Costa Rica, for example, is listening to this and they say, I can help Sean out. I'm going to reach out to him and see what I can do for him.
Wow. That's a great question, man. What resources? Well, the thing that comes to my mind is the asset that I mentioned to you, that this opportunity that came up. My buddy and I are going to build a resort in Costa Rica on the beach. And we already have the property. We've got the rendering done. The plan is set in motion. And a resort in like 16 rooms. So not like these, not like the MGM Grand or something like that. All the pieces of it are there. And for me to come in as a partner, I've got to raise some serious cash.
Yeah.
In the next 90 days, and I'm going to do it. I know it's available. And so here would be my request. If anyone's listening, I know that people have, what they call lazy money, and lazy money is you have extra money sitting around that is ready to be invested to make you more money.
Yeah.
Like that's what the banks do. Right. And so if someone's listening that has lazy money and you want to put that money to work for you, then contact me and I'll run the idea by you and see if it's a fit. That would be one. Second one, if I can ask, is if there's an expert out there or you know an expert that you want to see interviewed, I would love an introduction to an expert in the personal development game or the nutrition game or the financial game. And I interview experts like you do. And so if you resonate like with my style and someone pops into your mind that you think would be a good fit, then I would love an introduction.
That's fantastic, man. I love that. Yeah. I love that. And when that resort gets built, let me know. I'm going to make my way down to Costa Rica.
Dude, I'm going to send you the rendering.
Please.
It's going to blow your mind. Yeah. And come down. I can't wait till this thing gets off the ground. It's far beyond anything I've ever done. It's way outside of my comfort zone. And, you know, I really thank Christina for allowing that space for me to grow my mind into believing that I could do that. So that's a result of that work that we did together.
Fantastic. Next question. If you can name one book that has just had a life-changing effect on your life, what would that book be and why?
Dude, The Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah. I've heard wonderful things about this book. It's one of those books that I know is on my list. I just have not gotten around to reading it yet. So tell me why it changed you.
Oh, man. That's such a loaded question. There's so much juice to being present. You know, like life really only happens. Like you can only create life through this moment.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to get stuck into thoughts or situations that happened earlier, or even just being with you. If I'm still thinking about Costa Rica and you're asking me a question, I'm not present.
Right.
And I miss out. So that being in the present is an amazing tool for connecting with people, for reducing stress, for getting through anxiety. You know, if I hit a wall, then I'm not present. If I run out of energy, if I don't want to do, sometimes I don't want to do an interview, you know,
yes.
I'm exhausted or it's been a long day or whatever. And then I'm living in some idea or comes down to being fearful. Maybe I'm not going to be good enough. And then, you know, Eckhart, man, he's such an amazing spiritual leader and teacher. And when if you listen to the book rather than read it, you know, he actually speaks the book and he's so present and he's so powerful that just the person that he is while he reads the book is enough to shift you.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's fantastic. Okay, cool. I will, I'll listen to the book because you sold it. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, man. Last but not least, I always like to ask if you could offer one call to action to the listeners, one that either you live your life by, or perhaps you instill in others to live their lives by, what would that call to action be?
You know what? Say it again. Sorry. Say it again. I misinterpreted what you said.
Do you have a personal call to action that you like to live your life by, or you like to challenge others to live their lives by?
Yeah. A personal call to action. You know, what comes to me when you say that is it's a mantra that I live my life by. And the mantra is right on time all the time.
Yes. You said that earlier. I love it.
I said that earlier. Yeah, absolutely. You're right on time all the time and expect great things for yourself and then allow it to happen. And when it happens, acknowledge it and realize it didn't happen to you. It happened for you and you created it. And therefore you're right on time all the time.
Dude, that was perfect. I love that. Sean, if people want to reach out to you, if they want to work with you, if they want to connect with you, if they want to invest in your Costa Rica property, what is the best way for them to contact or connect with you?
Venmo, baby.
Venmo.
the best way, you know, next week I'm releasing a series called Reinvent Yourself.
Nice.
And it's season 3. And I've interviewed almost 25 experts from around the world, you know, different Tony Robbins breath coach, a former NFL player, some super cool people, man. And if there's a listener that's in your life, you realize that there's something else for you that you're ready to step into, this series, the whole context of it is bringing stories and tools so that you can honor the calling that you're getting and actually step into it. And if that speaks to you, I believe Trey will put a link onto this page and you can opt in to the Reinvent Yourself series and you can connect with me that way. I send emails and all the emails that I send after you've opted in, they come from me. And so then if you want to reply at any point, I read all my emails and we can start a conversation that way.
That's beautiful, man. I appreciate that. I love the positivity you're bringing to this world. You're not only just doing great work, but you're doing it with a genuine smile on your face. And when we did our weekly lab courses with Christina, the 12 weeks in a row, you always had a smile on your face and you always brought such light and joy to the conversations. And I know I can't see you right now, but I'm sure, or I hope you're smiling as we've had this conversation, and it feels good. It feels authentic. And I can't thank you enough for showing up in this world.
Dude, thanks, man. I am, bro. My cheeks hurt right now. I'm smiling ear to ear. I can't help it. And thanks for that acknowledgement, man. It really means a lot to me. So thank you.
Absolutely, man. Take care. And I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
All right, Trey. We will, man. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on your show, man. I appreciate being here. So thank you.
Once again, I would like to thank Sean for joining me on the podcast. This conversation was insightful and inspirational, and I'm so excited to have had the opportunity to connect with him. If you too were inspired by this conversation and you'd like to learn more about Sean, please visit themosaiclifepodcast.com, where you can find all of Sean's links, you can connect with him, and you can see the amazing work that he's doing. And while you're at themosaiclifepodcast.com, you can show your support for the podcast by signing up for the Circle newsletter. You'll receive once or twice weekly emails announcing brand new episodes, book recommendations, and there's some additional content on the way. Again, you can do so at themosaiclifepodcast.com. Thank all of you so incredibly much for taking the time out of your days and your weeks to show your support for the podcast. Just listening means the world to me, and I cannot thank you enough. Until next time, take care, do better, and be well.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate. Pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.